chapter 1. We last week looked at verse 28, which says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," that goes back to verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So that first part of verse 28 goes back to verse 21. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," then God did something. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate is rejected by God. A reprobate is abandoned by God. A reprobate mind is a mind that has been abandoned by God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 22. A mind abandoned by God loses its ability to think properly, loses its ability to reason, loses its ability to comprehend. And we see again, this is a progression of man's practice in sin. It's also a progression of God's wrath upon sin. A part of God's wrath is a reprobate mind. That is, people no longer have the ability to think reasonably. And then they elect to office people who cannot think or comprehend. Then notice, we want to move on to verses 29 through 32. "Being filled," okay, this would be those who have been given over to a reprobate mind, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable," that is, unappeasable, "unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So we have a catalog here of a variety of sins. But notice verse 29. First word, being. Being. That is a continuous state. Whatever is happening here is a continuous state. It just continues on and on and on and on. Where does it stop? It doesn't. Being. And then notice what it says, being filled. That is, continually immersed. Continually saturated. Being filled with all. That is, all kinds and types. And then he proceeds to make a long list of wickedness, a long list of sin. And these things continue. Being filled. And as you look at that list, the sins contained in the list have been since the fall of man. There's always been these things. Always. Since the fall of man. But the emphasis here is upon the degree, being filled with all unrighteousness, being filled. The emphasis is on the degree, the prevalence of sin. When man follows this cycle in Romans chapter 1, or when a society follows this cycle of Romans chapter 1, the end result is being filled with all. And then you have the list of sins. In other words, these things increase, they grow, they continue, being filled. It's what we read in Genesis 6, verse 5. Just prior to God sending the flood, he had this to say. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It speaks of degree. It speaks of the degree of wickedness. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Continually. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And if you follow the biblical pattern, beginning with the flood, and you follow it through the kingdom of Israel and Judah, and in through the New Testament, the biblical pattern is God, things get almost as bad as they can possibly get. And then God's cataclysmic judgment falls. That's the pattern. And I believe that's still the pattern today. This is also, being filled is also illustrated, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that's why it's important that we understand, once this pattern, once this cycle begins, people think, well, if we just elect the right senator, if we just elect the right president, we'll fix all this. You don't understand the cycle. You don't understand the pattern. It grows. It grows. This pattern is throughout. And we're seeing it today as well. 2 Timothy 3, familiar verses, begin with verse 1. This know also, so we need to know this, that in the last days, perilous, troublesome times shall come. For, in other words, for these reasons, this is what leads to perilous times. This is what leads to the peril. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's everywhere today. People are in love with themselves. Nobody else matters. Covetous. You'll notice that a lot of things here follow the list of Romans 1 as well. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. People have a tendency to, without natural affection, to make that apply merely to homosexuality. Certainly it applies, but that's not all it's talking about. A mother or father who puts their baby in a dumpster does not have natural affection. I mean, this goes on and on. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. It's not tolerance. There is despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, that would be Christianity in general, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort, that is, those who have this form of godliness, but not the power, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. How many TV preachers rob widows and old men, and they do it in the name of the Lord? Ever learning, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That seems to me like a big waste of time. Always learning, but not knowing anything. What a waste of time. I believe that pretty much describes our society today. Supposedly, we're more educated than we've ever been, yet stupidity is at an all-time high. Now, has Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these who resist the truth. Resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, notice what it says, reprobate concerning the faith. And here's the encouragement for you and I. But they shall proceed no further. You see, you get in this cycle, society gets in this cycle, and we're in it today. We're way into it. But God has a stopping point. God lets them go, and they follow their own sinful ways and make a mess of everything. But God has already determined you're going to go this far, and that's it. You're not going any further. And I'm thankful, because we don't know where this cycle is going to end, as far as the peril that it brings about. But I do know this, there is a stopping point. And it's God's stopping point. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the encouragement for you and I is, but continue. In spite of all these things, continue on. So what we read here in Romans 1 is really illustrated here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. When man is left to himself, this is the result. They are filled, they are saturated with sin, and perilous times come. It's just like in Joel's day. It's illustrated there as well. Notice in the book of Joel. Book of Joel. Maybe a little harder to find than some, right after the book of Hosea. Page 905 in my Bible, but again, that won't help you any. Book of Joel, and chapter 1, we see that there is a severe plague of locust. And this was due to the prevailing sin of Judah. And as you read through chapter 1, as this locust plague was taking place, Joel sees it as the judgment of God. And he sees it as a warning of more severe judgment to come. And that's the day in which we live. We have to look at what's going on in society. And according to Romans 1, it is the judgment of God. But it's also a warning that greater judgment is coming. This is the judgment of God, because God has allowed man to just go his own way. But it's also a warning, because man will continue in that way, there is a greater judgment, a more severe judgment to come. And the message that Joel received from God was for a people who were really in a very traumatic time. And they were under the judgment of God. In verse 4, he mentions four species of locust. And he speaks of various stages. And you'll see that there's a rapid succession of devastation. And it's all due to sin. And that's the cycle. When sin prevails, there is going to be a rapid succession of devastation. There were, as you read here in verse 4, you see that there were successive swarms of these locusts that came upon Judah. And what one swarm did not destroy, the other one did, and so on and so on. Again, it's just a rapid succession of ruin. Verse 5, you see the grapes have been devoured. In verse 7, the vineyards have been destroyed. The fig tree has been stripped of its bark. In verse 10, the field and the land is wasted. In verse 11, the wheat, the barley, the harvest are all destroyed. In verse 12, all the vines and the trees are withered of their leaves and their fruits. All the sap has gone out of the trees, all the moisture. The joy and rejoicing of the husbandman is no longer, it's all vanished. In verse 17, the seeds for the next harvest were lost. The storehouses are empty. The barns were in disrepair. And that which did grow withered away. It was destruction upon destruction. In verse 18, the herds are suffering. They're confused. Where they once ate grass, there is no grass. There's confusion everywhere. The flocks of the sheep are abandoned. And as you look at the scene, again, it's all a picture of the judgment of God. We're not dealing here today with just a literal locust. The United States, our society, the world, we're not dealing with just a swarm of locusts, but what that swarm of locusts pictures is what we're dealing with. And that is destruction upon destruction. There was widespread devastation, destitution, chaos, shock. People are shocked today. There was sorrow, there was anxiety, distress, and death. And the root cause of it all was the prevalence of sin. And this was all on an unprecedented scale for that day. In verse 2, Joel asked the old men, and he asked the inhabitants of the land, "Have you ever seen anything like this?" I'm paraphrasing. Have you ever seen anything like this? How often that question is asked today. Have you ever seen anything like this? Who would have thought that we would be where we are today? Can you ever remember a time like this, Joel is saying to the old men? And they would say, we've never seen anything like it. And that's where we are today. That's where we are today. You ask people that have been around a while, have you ever seen anything like this before? No, I haven't. All you got to do is watch the news. Have you ever seen anything like it? And it continues to get worse and worse and worse, being filled with all unrighteousness. So again, we find ourselves today, much like Joel's day, except worse, because we're not dealing with physical, literal locust, but Satan and the forces of hell and the enemies of God and the deniers of God, like a plague of locusts, have relentlessly, swarm after swarm, come upon the land, come upon the government, the judicial system, upon the schools, upon families, upon marriages, upon homes, and has stripped them. We've been stripped of respect, faith, dependence upon God, stripped of values, stripped of morality, stripped of justice, stripped of integrity. There was a day, we that are old enough can remember, someone said they were good for it, they were good for it. Just their word was good. Integrity. It's almost non-existent today in society. It stripped us of that which is good and decent. I get a little tired of hearing people talk about how bad the good is and how bad the decent is. We've been stripped of those things. Been stripped of sanity. Again, sin is an act of insanity, and being filled with sin, people become insane. Stripped of common sense. Again, these things are far more precious than what we read of in Joel chapter 1. And it just illustrates Romans chapter 1. Due to the prevalence of sin and the judgment of God, the plague of locusts of our day are far more horrific, far more monstrous, far more widespread, far more opposing to the good of man, far more destructive, and far more troublesome and destabilizing and crippling and degrading than the locust of Joel's day. It's the cycle. And again, as we've repeated over and over, Romans 1 is a cycle. Being filled with awe. And then you have a long list of wickedness. And the things mentioned in Romans 1, verses 29 through 32, become so prevalent that they become the norm. That's when you're in trouble. When sin becomes so prevalent that you think it's normal. And because it's normal, it's no longer wrong. That's the way people think. Well, that's just the way it is today. Well, that may be so, but that doesn't make it right. These things must never become normal to you and I. But we live in a society where these things are normal. We live in a society, the fact the majority of our society, this is all they've ever known. All they've ever known is fornication and adultery and murder. That's all they've ever known. And becomes the norm of their life. That is the judgment of God. But it leads to even a greater judgment. So next week we'll begin looking at this list of sin. Being filled with, and that's our society today, saturated. Saturated with sin. Brother Art, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?